name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The reading we heard this morning from the book of Job could hardly be more dramatic in the way it is. The writer imagines the search for riches under the earth, in the unfathomable caverns that lie under our feet, with stones glowing with fire. It's a longer description still, elsewhere, of how people take immense, unimaginable risks to go in search of these buried treasures. Humanity has been given by God the skill and the courage to go in quest of these mysteries and these riches. And if that is what is involved in looking for the riches that pass, what is involved in looking for the kind of wealth that doesn't fade away, which is the wisdom of God? And this is where it seems we run up against a brick wall. Can we find wisdom in the depths of the earth, in the ocean, or above the skies? We can't. Wherever we turn, it is that creation around us shrugs with embarrassment and says, actually, not here. The sea said it is not with me. So, where shall wisdom be found? It's a question which, in a way, echoes all the way through Scripture. And it's a question which, in this place, in this city and university, is one that is bound at some point or another, even in the most hard-hearted of students or academics, to raise its head. Where shall wisdom be found? Not just knowledge, not just skill, but wisdom. And to understand the way that question works in the Bible, we need also to grasp how very much the mind of the Hebrews wrote the Old Testament. Wisdom was an active and not a passive thing. Wisdom is the energy of God at work everywhere. Wisdom is God's outpouring of himself. Wisdom isn't something in our minds, but in God's. And for our minds to acquire wisdom is for us to be attuned to the way God works and the way God is. This is where things get even more complicated, but also even more simple. What is our problem in attuning ourselves to the wisdom of God? What is our problem in listening to and absorbing this universal cosmic music, which is God's action pulsating around us? The problem is what Jesus lays out in the Gospel we heard. That our instinct, our default position, so to speak, is to think of wisdom just as a variety of knowledge and skill, and therefore as something we have. And if we have it, other people don't. We have to protect our skill, our precious insight, our command over things, because if it is shared with others, who knows what strange ideas they might get. As in many periods of human history, where those in power have thought it's really a very bad idea to let people learn to read, because, again, all kinds of ideas have come into their minds and upset the God-given balance of things in which I and people like me are at the top of the heap. And in our own age, of course, for all the enormous complexities around the control and monitoring of electronic communication, don't get me started, as they say, it's very visible that the most repressive societies in our world are the ones who least want to see knowledge shared. And that's not just because of the old cliché, knowledge is power. There's something a bit more positive and a bit more profound here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a circulation of gift and joy, of bliss, the intensity of being and action, shared eternally, not clutched, grasped, confined, but pouring out an endless circulation. That is God. God's wisdom is that kind of love. Eternal, intense, ceaseless, unconditional exchange of living and rejoicing. What Jesus depicts in the Gospel is a sad world in which people seek constantly to clutch both life and knowledge to themselves and confine it. At the end of the passage, Jesus paints that unforgettably vivid picture of the expert who shuts up the door to knowledge, but who neither goes in to enjoy the knowledge nor shares it with anyone else. Ultimate dog in the manger position. Or even worse than this, there is knowledge. You can't have it, but I don't want it. What Jesus speaks of, and more importantly, what Jesus offers and realizes, is something utterly different. A wisdom which is inseparable from communion. To be with Jesus is to learn to sing in harmony with the divine wisdom. To be with Jesus is to absorb that endless divine life which his gift shared. And so for us to live in wisdom, to find our way to this mysterious, buried wisdom that the book of Job speaks of, is quite simply for us to be in and to absorb the company of Jesus, the style and the rhythm of Jesus' own life, to let ourselves be fed by the way Jesus lives and the way Jesus acts. Involves quite a lot of letting go of our expertise and our command and control. It involves letting go of a lot of our fear and apprehension and jealousy. It involves learning to monitor and examine our own actions and thoughts in terms of whether they are enhancing, enriching the life of the world around us. And more than that, look at our words, thoughts, deeds, and ask whether we are allowing ourselves to be enriched by the world around us, or whether indeed we are simply locking up the door to knowledge and neither going in nor letting anyone else in. And when we look around us at our contemporary world, there seems to be a fair amount of that locking the door, neither going in nor letting others in. Locking up the door to joy. Think of all those ultra-ambitious technological projects which so dominate and shape our world today, which don't, in fact, promise deep human joy, the enhancement of human community, and which increase the levels of inequality and injustice in our world. That's the very opposite, it seems, of wisdom. So, in an environment like this, where we are committed to wisdom and to learning, the life of the university and its community, it's a question we need to ask continuously. Not simply what is the output, or God save us, the impact of research done in the university, not simply the effectiveness of what we're discovering or turning up, but something about you. Is the very process of learning and teaching enriching our communion? One of the things we treasure in this university, quite rightly, is the emphasis on common life and face-to-face conversation. We organize ourselves in this university in colleges, where, in theory at least, you talk to your neighbors quite a bit. do our teaching in human-sized groups, where it's possible sometimes to ask an unexpected question of an expert, and ideally, once again, to silence that expert with the unexpectedness of your own insight. Ideally, for me, yet there is something profoundly Christian and godly about this. The University of Cambridge has had a patchy history in terms of piety, let's say, it still does. And yet there is something about the vision of wisdom, which we struggle to embody here, that connects with what is being said in the Book of Job and what is said by our Lord and Master. Wisdom and communion. Wisdom and neighborliness. Wisdom and share belong together. And if we are to grow in wisdom, we are to grow in communion. In Hebrew scripture, one of the images that's most powerfully deployed in speaking of wisdom, we find in the Book of Proverbs. Wisdom invites. Wisdom spreads a table. Wisdom is hospitable and welcoming. And in Proverbs, there's a rather delightful, rather mischievous opposition between wisdom as the great lady of the house flinging open the doors and spreading a table laden with good things to eat, and folly, who, so to speak, stands at the corner of the street leaning against the wall, winking at passers-by, nudging them to come in. It's the difference between a true sharing, a true communion, and, well, what shall we say, a moment of pleasure, a moment of distraction. Wisdom feeds. Wisdom nourishes. That, of course, is why in this service of Holy Communion, that image, that picture is at the very heart of it. We are here to feed on wisdom, to be fed by that outpouring life of God's action, which makes us alive, to be part of that everlasting sharing and enriching that is God. Lays a table for us. In his own ministry, his teaching is inseparable from the fellowship he creates, the communion he generates by his presence. And when he has been pushed away from the world, pushed into those places of darkness and fire that Job imagines, he returns once again from the dead, from the depths, to lay a table and invite his friends to sit. Here we are his friends, responding to that invitation, sitting and eating. And we hope and pray, growing. St. Augustine, in his Confessions, imagines the divine wisdom speaking to him. That divine wisdom says, "I am the food of full-grown people. Grow up. Feed on me." To grow into our full humanity is to grow into a humanity where we are ready to be fed by God, by the world God has made, by the people God has given us, to be wise together. So together we need to take this food that belongs to grown-ups, to grow into the fullness of what God has purposed, to learn together that singing tune of the eternal wisdom that makes and holds everything. We ask God to bless all our endeavors of mind and heart and spirit, that they may serve that communion, that justice and sharing, and mutual delight for which God has created us in his everlasting wisdom. Father, the Son.